You're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino.
Opening tune on this 160th episode of Neon Jazz comes from pianist and composer James P. Johnson with the classic Carolina Shout. And with this tune, we start a theme of sorts around here, and we like that. That song was on the Smithsonian Collection of Classic Jazz. It's a 6-LP box set released back in 1973 by the Smithsonian Institute, compiled by jazz essayist and historian Martin Williams. The collection features tracks from over a dozen recording labels spanning several decades and genres of American jazz, from ragtime and big band to post-bop and free jazz. This collection has been highly regarded as an invaluable document of jazz history and maintains a legacy as an introductory listening vehicle for both new and expert jazz fans. So here's a bit more about James P. Johnson before we move on. He was undoubtedly a pioneer of the stride style of piano, and one of the most important pianists who bridged that all-important link between ragtime and the jazz eras. He was a model for Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Art Tatum, and Fats Waller. And the New Jersey native had full access to New York growing up, and he dove head-on into that full cosmopolitan spectrum of debauchery that city's musical experience, from bars to cabarets to symphony, had to offer. And it was with those roots that he became legendary. So good that in 1995, the U.S. Postal Service issued a James P. Johnson 32-cent commemorative postage stamp. It would not work today, but it works for us on this show. Welcome to Neon Jazz. This is your jazz radio host, Joe Domino, coming to you from a town that knows fountains and sprays jazz freely, right here in Kansas City, Missouri, ready to fill your cup with the best jazz in the world. Coming at you next on this special Smithsonian Hour of Jazz is the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra, roaring through the 1920s with the tune Wrapping It Up.
Spraysonian.
Spraysonian. That's it. I was looking for it.
Thank you.
That was the gifted arranger and composer of the bop era, Tad Dameron, with his sextet with the song Lady Bird. Also known for his writing of charts for such bands as Jimmy Lunsford, Count Basie, Billy Eckstein, and the great Dizzy Gillespie. He was always very modest about his piano playing, but he did gig with Bab Gonzalez's Three Bips and a Bop, and he led his own sextet featuring Fats Navarro. Nothing at all to sneeze about for Tad. Keeping the jazz rolling on this Smithsonian LP's greatest hits. Next on the program is Louis Armstrong with his Hot Five, with an anthem to the gates that we know here in KC. Strutting with some barbecue.
Gigging with a bip and a bop.
Bip and a bop and a beep.
Thank you.
That was a key ingredient in any retrospective on the best of jazz. New Yorker Thelonious Fir Monk with his quartet on the song Evidence. He studied classical piano when he was 11, and by 13 he had won the weekly amateur competition at the Apollo Theater. In fact, he won it so many times they stopped him from competing anymore. At the age of 17, he dropped out of the esteemed Stuyvesant High School to tour with the Texas Warhorse, an evangelical faith healer, before assembling a quartet of his own. And from those meager beginnings, he went on to define jazz and the world that we know as we listen to jazz piano. Keeping within the bebop realm, here's Miles Davis with Gil Evans and his orchestra, next on Neon Jazz with the tune Summertime. Mm-hmm. Was the great tenor saxophonist Coleman Hawkins with his orchestra on the tune Body and Soul. Coleman was one of the best ever and was a modern improviser whose knowledge of chords and harmonies was epic. He went strong until 1965. Whether it was senility or simply frustration, Hawkins began to lose interest in life in general. He practically quit eating, increased his drinking, and quickly wasted away. But it was the music that he'll be remembered for, particularly as we roll on in this hour of looking at the great historical music document of this here America, jazz, via the Smithsonian. From the streets of KC, and another cat that defines the jazz idiom very well. Here's Charlie Yardbird Parker with his sextet with the tune Take One of Crazyology.
Everybody, this is Megan Birdsall, and you're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino. I'm gonna go get some more.
That was a duo with some serious jazz muscle. Tenor sax man Don Bias and bassist extraordinaire Slam Stewart with the song I Got Rhythm.
Great song.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the Great American Songbook right there.
And those two together, beautiful.
Yeah. All right, you brought a word into the introduction the last break we took. You talk about the jazz idiom. Explain a little bit.
Its meaning is it's not predictable from the usual meanings of its elements, like, you know, kick in the bucket or all that jazz or something along those lines. It's just a very common term to kind of throw around in the jazz world.
Idiom. You've got an idiom.
What'd you call me?
No, I just we cheated a little bit. We brought up on the computer the definition of the thing, and just trying to get a real angle on what we're saying here. What are we saying? You know, and you could really make you can make all music a real mind trip, but you have to, especially get to listen to bebop.
Yeah,
and then avant-garde bebop, and then it's like Don Adams used to say, You may now feel free to blather, but don't think about it too much.
That's right. Yeah. You could be figurative about it at that point, which means we would be within the idiom. So we're just tossing out that jazz lingo, you know?
Yep.
But these two together,
Speaking of Don and Slam.
Don and Slam. Don is seen as one of the greatest tenor sax players of all time, and his decision to move permanently to Europe in 46 resulted in him being vastly underrated in the jazz history books, and we've heard that before. Well, on the other hand, Slam's ability to play on the bass and hum an octave the way he did made him famous in the jazz world, and he had one of the best names in jazz, Slam Stewart. And both of these guys together, even though they were not seen as jazz stars, will always hold a fond spot in the heart of jazz purists. As we ebb and flow through the eras here on the Smithsonian Hour, as we look at jazz, this is the great clarinetist and legend, Benny Goodman, with his sextet featuring Charlie Christian. This is a great song on the fretboard with the tune Breakfast Feud.
This is Laura Ainsworth, and I think Neon Jazz is out of this world.
I'm all alone. I'm so all alone. There's no one else but you. All alone.
with one of the finest voices to ever sing that jazz. That was Sarah Vaughan with the tune All Alone.
I think I was sharing with you a moment ago that my folks weren't really into Sarah Vaughan or the music of that genre, but of the voices while I was being raised that stood out in that genre, I mean, she was everywhere. It is Sarah Vaughan. She had one of the most unique voices of that era.
Absolutely. I mean, you had to go up against Lady Ella. You had Billy. Yep. But Sarah did have that voice that it was that bird in the tree that you were like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, the songbird.
It stood out to me that I remembered. And when I began hearing Sarah Vaughan's recordings again, I went, yes, I've come up with that.
And it's probably why she had the nickname the Divine One.
And sassy.
That's right. She was sassy.
And sailor.
But that was because of the way she talked with the boys. She could keep up.
She had a bit of a temper.
That's right.
Which you had to have a temperament working with the boys sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just ask Doris Day.
That's right. She could hold her own. And she had a wide range and perfectly controlled vibrato. And she had expressive abilities that landed her as a force that would never be diminished. She remains as vital today as she was during her life, from 1924 to 1990. 76 very full years for Sassy. Here's the great Duke with his famous orchestra next on Neon Jazz. Ellington at his finest with the tune Coco.
Thank you.
That was big band drummer Gene Krupa tearing up the skins with the tune Rockin' Chair with his orchestra in tow. Along with being a musician, he was in Hollywood for a time, appearing in films like The Glenn Miller Story and The Benny Goodman Story. And it was in 1959 that the movie about him, his biography about his life, The Gene Krupa Story, was released. Sal Mineo played the part of Krupa. His name was always in lights, baby. Here's the great Diz next on the Smithsonian Hour of Jazz Classics with his all-star quintet. Here's Gillespie with the tune Show Enough.
Thank you.
That was the legend on the tenor sax, Dexter Gordon, with the song Bikini, as we wind down the fan blades on this hour of Smithsonian Jazz. The final lick on the show comes from a friend of this town of ours. This is the great Count Basie with his KC7, giving it all he has with the song Lester Leaps In. And I hope you enjoy this hour-long leap into the land of jazz classics via the Smithsonian LP Collection. Thanks to you for tuning into a show featuring one of America's finest inventions, jazz. And thanks to my good friend, show engineer, and a hero of KC Radio, the Neon Beats, Mr. John Christopher.
Here I come to save the day,
John Man. All right. Like what you heard, let us know. Drop us a line. We love to hear from you out there in Radioland. NeonJazzKC@gmail.com. We would dig it the most, baby. All right. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends. Good on the tune levels.
Yeah, I thought we were pretty good on the levels. That announcer's got to go though.
Yeah, if he goes, we're fine. We can just go right on into it.
Actually, we're out of time.
That's right. Good night, folks. Thanks for joining us. Good night, Dick.
Neon Jazz.